right, welcome to Podcast Insider. And this week I have Mackenzie with me. How you doing, Mackenzie?
I'm good. I'm back for another week.
Yeah, it's good, I guess. Todd is taking a little vacation after however many days in a row traveling and working and whatnot.
That man has been on the move.
Yeah, he's, May has been a busy travel schedule for, well, all of us except for me. I only went once, so. But anyway, so we're back from PodFest, and Mackenzie, thanks for holding down the fort last week with Dave.
Yes.
It was a good show.
Thank you.
And all right, so today we're going to have news. We're going to have our normal best practice, and we got a little bit of blueberry news, not much. We got our blueberry pro tip, and we got a, I think, pretty good but somewhat geeky question of the week.
So, that's what you're here for me to ask the dumb questions.
I used to say there was no dumb questions, but I posted one in Slack earlier today that, yeah, that was dumb. And I won't put it out here. First up on the news, we have how many shows do you need to buy ads on to reach 100% of U.S. listeners? That's a report by Edison Research. What's your guess? Or did you already read it?
Well, I already read it. But when you first like put this in the show notes, I questioned the question. I was like, why is this something that you like really care about? Like, I understand, but...
Well, if you're an advertiser and you want to get the biggest reach possible, then, you know, this may be of use. But it is interesting. So your guess, you didn't have to guess, you read it. I would have guessed you would have had to, you know, buy a couple thousand shows to get everybody. But they're saying here, anything above about 1,000 in one of the top rated podcasts, and I don't know where you would get that rating, but, 1,001 of the top podcasts will get you 100% reach. Of course, not everybody listens to the top 1,000, but, according to their little thing here. But if you buy the top 10, this is one that was interesting, is you can get 33% of, U.S. weekly podcast listeners.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and so you go to 25, you get 44%. You go to 100, you get 59%. Top 500, you get, 3/4 of them and so on. Who's going to do that? But what's the advertiser that sells mattresses that everybody does?
Well, there's quite a few now, but the original on that, I believe, was Casper.
Yeah, Casper, they would just sort of bombard everything. Back, in our early days at Raw Voice, Citrix was that way. I mean, just about every podcast out there had a Citrix ad in it, for GoToMeeting, GoToWebinar, that stuff. And, so they went far and wide. And a lot of podcast media buyers don't pick the lower shows. And they really should think about that.
It's just a different way of doing it. You can do multiple lower shows as opposed to one or two really big ones and still get the same results.
Yeah, this would be for like big brand advertisers, but say you're an advertiser selling podcast equipment for say, all right, well, there's probably 20 podcasts about podcasts out there that you could approach and you'd get a fair bit of your audience just with those 20 podcasts. Because, almost every podcaster listens to at least one of those, generally. Now, there's some out there that don't, but, the people that are going to be interested in buying stuff might be.
I would assume so.
The one you put, that story you put in there, go ahead and read that. That's great.
Okay, so I saw this the other day, and it's Spotify podcasters are making $18,000 a month with nothing but white noise. So people that are have advertising in their show from Spotify, some of the most popular ones are white noise or like things that people fall asleep to. These people aren't really listening to it.
Yeah, I fall asleep to regular podcasts, so
Yeah, it says they're full of soothing, static, and calming sounds.
Hmm. Maybe this summer I'll have to go up to the Lake Superior shoreline and record a couple hours of waves. Put it on Spotify and see what happens. But yeah, that's great. Yeah, somebody was making $18,000 a month.
Yeah.
That's just
There's that's a guy crazy. That gets 50,000 listens per day. And he, so he ranks in the top 25% of all podcasts.
Yeah. Well, at least on Spotify. So,
right.
Yeah, I doubt I doubt that's on Apple, or if it is, I doubt that it's popular. There's a real popular podcast out there called Sleep With Me that talks about boring stuff that'll put you to sleep.
Yeah, it's the modern version of an infomercial.
Yeah, there's room for everything. There's no rules in podcasting. So, you know, if somebody wants to listen to it and you make it, that's good. Robert Riggs, we've talked about him before. He does the Freed to Kill is the TV show based on his podcast, True Crime Reporter. That's what it was. And he got an award. And let me look it up just to make sure I got the right name of the award. But he got a Silver Telly Award.
Okay.
For the, best adaptation of a podcast for TV.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah, he's a happy Blueberry customer. I talk to him probably once a month at least.
And I mean,
or another.
A joy to see when we are at events.
Yes, yes. Very nice guy and very knowledgeable about things going on in the background. and the show is really good. It's well produced and, both the TV show, I watched it. It was pretty awesome. And he was a pretty prominent guy back in, 20 years ago around Dallas and whatnot, on TV. He worked for CBS and I don't know. But anyway, congratulations to Robert and on getting his Telly Award. All right. And then I had an interesting one here. I don't know if you guys all have your logos like you like them. But
always use a refresh.
Sure, sure. And this article I thought was pretty good on how to create a podcast logo that'll attract attention. The author, and I forget what her name was.
It's Rachel Corbett, and I am like 99% certain she was or still is a Blueberry customer.
Well, it's very possible, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've worked with her. I've worked with a Rachel Corbett. Yeah. In the past, and I believe it is her.
She goes into, don't pack the logo with text, go for a simple image, don't make it too complicated, that kind of stuff. But a lot of good tips in there if you're designing your own logo or your album art.
I'd say probably my biggest one is what you said earlier, take out all the tiny text. I hate it. I don't want to squint at it. I'm looking at a podcast on my phone. I don't want to have to.
Right. And most people, when they see your artwork, are going to see it like 1 inch by 1 inch.
Right.
They're not going to look at it billboard size. So also keep the bit or the, what do you call that? The resolution down. Just go 1400 by 1400 pixels rather than cranking it all the way up to 3000 because Apple says you can. Well, yeah, that's if you're going to watch it on a 100 inch plasma screen on Apple TV. Yeah, it might make a difference. But for most people on phone, no problem. But simpler is better. Make the text, if you have a bunch of text, make it big. Well, don't have a bunch, but make it big. I like this one here. Hire a designer.
I would do that immediately.
Yeah.
If I was going to start a podcast, I would hire either our graphic designer who I like on our team, or find another graphic designer that I'm friends with and have them do it.
Right. Actually, we're probably due for a refresh on this show, so.
I'd say so.
It's possible. So the next story here is about some hardware, and I did not see this. It's not out yet, but Jen wrote it up for Podcaster News. It's a thing called the Nomano, or a company called Nomano, and it's called the Sound Capsule. And what it is this little portable thing. It looks like a pail you'd give your kid to go to the beach, is what the thing's contained in. But it's a little square box with four little clip-on microphones that, with magic and software, make it sound like you're in a quiet room, even if you're not. because there's microphones on the base station that pick up the ambient noise and cancel that out. And then it's got the four lavalier mics. So if you're just sitting around a table and doing an interview or a podcast or a panel or anything like that, this thing will record it in such a way that you don't have all that background noise. Now, I don't know how good it is, but it sounds pretty good, you know, as far as the specs and everything. And
it's intriguing.
Yeah, it seems a bit expensive.
Ooh, what's the price point?
Yeah, I didn't see the price point here, but I want to say it was like, you know, $500 or something like that, which, like I said, I may be wrong, but that's what I seem to remember.
It's a scenario for you have to really like this and keep it, or it's not worth it.
Yeah, yeah. They showed it off at the podcast show in London, which was right before PodFest, so we didn't go. Although we did have boots on the ground there, so maybe I'll see if Toby saw this thing.
You're right. It looks like a beach pail.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But, you know, but it's all in one little case, so, you know, you can bring it. It'd be great for, you know, people that are doing remote interviews with people, you know, where not remote, where they're remote, but you go to them and, you know, in person. And I would think it would be like for a conference. If you're doing a panel,
yeah,
you could have one of these at each of the panel sessions and it would record. And it's cool. It records each of the individuals in their own track. Plus it has a combined track. So if you want to use one or the other, and you could, you know, edit each. So if one individual's coughing a lot, you can edit out the coughs. You never know. Anyway, looks like an intriguing little product here. So we'll see if see how that does.
Would love to try it out one day.
Yeah. And speaking of hardware, and you laughed at me, but I had to put a pronouncer here. Focusrite. And I have to, because every time I look at it, I see Foresight. I don't know why. But anyway,
well, so, you had the foresight to include the pronunciation in the show notes. So.
Right. But anyway, they came out with a new interface called Vocaster, and I did see that at the PodFest.
Any good?
I didn't play with it. It's a USB interface for one or two microphones. So it's kind of like a very small, portable, almost like a Rodecaster, except for it doesn't record on board. You have to record on your computer, but it plugs in USB, and the one version of it just has one microphone and then a TRRS cable to plug into a phone if you want to bring in somebody remote or another computer, whatever. And then the other one is a double microphone, so it has two XLR mic inputs, not USB, but XLR. So the professional mics. It also has Bluetooth to bring in people. So if you wanted to Bluetooth your phone to it, you could bring in a third person with that. It's, you know, it's, like I said, it has some of the functionality of like a Rodecaster or you know, any of these other all-in-one things, but a lot smaller. I mean, the thing, I think it was maybe 4 or 5 inches rectangular, but I mean, it looks pretty portable. The picture on the website here, as somebody sitting there with their MacBook on a coffee table, and it looks like it, you know, it's just the thing for the indie podcaster that doesn't have a dedicated studio set up or for interviews. Who knows, you know?
It looks like a nice little toy, though.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, they do a lot of the other USB interfaces over there at Focusrite. So, anyway, they were at the show. They were the last vendor, too. It was kind of funny. The main vendor area closed on Saturday, but on Sunday, the booths in the hall were still open. Most of them took off, but they were there right to the bitter end. I saw them Sunday afternoon packing up, so they stuck it out. All right, it's another Edison-derived thing. Here's how Americans spend their audio time on smart speakers.
So before we get into it, how do you, Mike, because you have a smart speaker.
What do I use it for?
Yeah.
Mostly music.
What do you use, Spotify or Amazon? I can't remember.
Well, it was Amazon, but they got annoying, so I reluctantly went back to Spotify.
Went back to Spotify, yeah.
So, but yes, I use Spotify most of the time, or some of Amazon music still comes through too, because of course it's an Amazon device.
Yes.
But, I, you know, that's mainly what I use it for, that and to turn on and off lights and things, you know. I'm, you know, lazy. So, but on here, you know, as far as audio listening, AM FM radio is 13%. Which I would have thought was bigger because I use it for that a bit too.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, I guess.
Yeah. I used to live in Boise, Idaho, and I used to live in Northwest Florida, and sometimes I like to bring up the local station to listen. Like, you know, I love listening to the drive time in Boise, you know, them bitching about all the traffic and stuff. So it's kind of fun. But, you know, that's really, you know, the only radio I listen to on it. YouTube, I found that interesting. Unless they're talking about YouTube music. I didn't even know you could do YouTube on the smart speaker. You know, it's just weird. Sirius XM, actually 11%. That's pretty amazing. Since I didn't know they were doing that well.
I found info about YouTube. It says the YouTube percentage reflects time spent with music and music videos only.
Okay, that makes sense. And I also use it as a Bluetooth speaker for other things.
So, yeah.
But owned music, I don't even know if I own. I've got CDs somewhere. I don't have anything to play them on anymore.
I have so much music on my old college laptop. Because I used to get MP3s for my job, like for when I worked at the radio station. Mm-hmm. And then I graduated in 2014, and that's when Spotify really got its life together, and I just haven't really gone back.
But the number I find interesting is podcasts was only 8%.
Yeah.
And podcasting to me, you know, 90% of the time I listen to podcasts, it's on earbuds when I'm doing something else.
Same.
Or driving. You know, if I'm going on, you know, going more than about a 10-minute drive, I usually have a podcast playing. But, you know, I don't sit here in my office or at home in the living room or whatever and listen to a podcast on a smart speaker.
You know, I actually do sometimes. So I don't have a smart speaker. Personally, I hate them. But I have a Bluetooth speaker. And so, I've had that for years and years now, so I will listen to podcasts that way when I am cooking or in the shower or something like that. So if I liked smart speakers, then I would definitely be participating in that, but it's just not going to happen, so.
But anyway, it's an interesting little report about, you know, how people do their smart speaker. This is just for the U.S. I don't know if they've done a worldwide one. I'm sure they will if they haven't.
But, give it time.
All right, on to the best practice. And you put this one in here, and it's relevant.
So if you guys have been listening to the show for a very long time, you've probably heard some of the podcasting woes that we've had with the studio on and off over the years. And I came into the office from my house today to record with Mike, and I was just here last week with Dave. And basically anytime I come in to record a podcast, I have to update Skype every single time. Like, I had to update it last week with Dave, and I had to do it today.
Yeah.
It's been 7 days.
Yeah, it's the same on the Mac.
So I'm just saying, whatever software you are using to record or edit anything, whatever, just make sure that it is working properly before you start doing whatever it is that you want to be doing, especially recording, just because that gets awkward and people get stressed out. And especially if you have a guest, you're like, oh no, I screwed this up, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
you
make sure it's working whether you update it or not. Even if it's calling for an update, sometimes you can just say, well, it was working, let's leave it this way, and then update after.
Yes,
because exactly. Sometimes the update may screw something up that you have to go figure out, and that's no fun.
Mm-hmm.
But just make sure everything is plugged in, turned on, and make sure you hit record, and You know, there's a whole little checklist. I have this little checklist I go through. It's not, it's in my head, so I don't have it wrote down, but
I just. Well, you've been doing it a long time.
Yeah, I have this little checklist. Okay, make sure the mic's not muted. Make sure this, make sure that, you know, and I just kind of go through this little thing. Like when I start this podcast with you or Todd or whoever, I always say record one, record two. Because I have two recordings running here, usually. I have the Rodecaster, and I usually use Call Recorder on Skype. But in this case, we're doing a double-end recording. So you're recording you, I'm recording me. So that usually sounds a little bit better. But, you know, the Call Recorder does a good job. The Rodecaster does a good job. But it's good to have the backups.
There's so many different ways that you are able to record a podcast that just make sure that whatever way you are using is working properly.
All right. And a little bit of blueberry news. I wanted to go over podcast/VidFest, which were combined, which we didn't really notice too much of the combining. I think I might have saw three or four VidFest badges in the PodFest area.
I was wondering how that part was going to go, if there was going to be a big overlap or anything like that.
But we saw a lot of them in the halls and at the parties and that kind of thing, but didn't really see a whole lot of them, you know, from VidFest in the PodFest expo area. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't a lot of crossover that way. I'm sure there were at some of the sessions.
That would make more sense, probably.
Yeah, and it was cool. Did run into Jeff Powers, a friend of the show. Mm-hmm. He was there for VidFest, and I guess he works with the Amazon Live Shopping team or something. I've never even clicked the Live Shopping button on Amazon, but I don't really want a QVC experience.
I was going to say, I've never heard of this before.
Apparently it's a big deal. I've never seen it either. But okay. Jeffrey works for them. But anyway, it was a good show. We had the little 2-hour thing on, I guess, Thursday night.
The kickoff party.
We were the kickoff party. We were busy as hell.
Yeah.
Got a lot of good conversations in. And
everyone's there and excited.
Friday, it was reasonably busy for a typical conference. You know, a lot of people go into sessions and whatnot. I spoke on a panel with two other people about podcast rebranding. That went really well. And I probably had 40 people in the room, something like that, which is not bad for PodFest.
Yeah, that's great.
And then Todd spoke later in the afternoon, and I don't know what he had for a head count, but he was in one of the big rooms, so I'm assuming he had more people, but, you know, I don't know.
He tends to fill a room.
Yeah, you know, he's pretty good at whipping up content.
Yes, like he is. That. Yes, he is.
So, and then Saturday was a bit slow, but it was still good. You know, we had a lot of really good conversations. We come back with a lot of contacts. It was interesting that Blueberry and Libsyn were the only two podcast hosting companies there, which, you know, I understand Captivate because they were over in the London show.
Yes, they were.
And, you know, because that's where they're from. And I guess, what was the other one? One of them had a conference that they put on themselves going on at the same time in Atlanta.
Oh, I wanna, yeah.
And yeah, then, I think it was then there was a, yeah, and then there was a couple others that normally go that just weren't there. So it was interesting. And we were right across the aisle from each other, Libsyn and Blueberry, which
is normal.
As we
tend to be.
Yeah, and, you know, it's all friendly competition.
Yeah.
But they brought 15 people and had a, you know, huge booth, and, you know, but they've got, you know, all these other companies that they're now own, you know, like Pear Networks and
Advertisecast,
and I don't know, some other thing. I don't they got a couple of things, but anyway, it was good to see everybody. A few people came home with the cooties, but
yeah, I was gonna say a few attended and have not heard. I would recommend getting a test.
Yeah. So I'll knock on wood. I've taken a negative test. Everything's good. But everybody on the panel with me was positive. I don't know, 4 or 5 people from Libsyn, I guess, were tested positive. Dave Jackson, he says he's feeling better. He's felt like he got run over by a truck, he said, but after that, he's coming out of it okay. And
take care of yourselves, people.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's going to happen, unfortunately. The good thing about it, it seems to me that it's getting milder as we go along. So hopefully it stays that way.
Take your preferred precautions and...
Yes.
That's all you can do now.
Yep, yep. So anyway, that was the report. You know, it was a really good time. Good to see everybody that was there. It was interesting. Michelle from Heil Sound had her booth out in the hallway, and they found out that FedEx wasn't going to ship until Tuesday because of
Memorial Day
weekend, and so she ended up having to pack up on Saturday and get her stuff shipped because she's at the NAMM show this week in California. She had to get all her stuff out to California.
Right.
So she packed up and she was hanging out with the BSW guys in their booth next door. So she was there until the end, but all her stuff went to California a day early. Hopefully it made it. I don't know. I haven't heard from her.
That's the joys of shipping. I've had my problems, and I will have more in the future.
It's
never going to end.
You know, it's just, you know, all the different hotels have different policies as far as, you know, and all the different events. Maybe make deal with shipping companies, but, you know, you guys don't want to hear all about that. but it was a good time. I'm glad to be home, and I'm taking tomorrow afternoon off. So there we go.
Good. You deserve a day.
All right. So the only other thing on our list is we're looking to expand our dev team.
We're looking for a software developer. We're looking for a junior software dev.
Yeah. And what's cool now is it can be remote.
Yeah.
Or you can be in Columbus, Ohio.
If you're in Columbus, great. Come hang out with us in the office a couple times a week if you want. Or you don't have to be.
Good job, good benefits, and I think we're a pretty fun team to work with most of the time.
I think so too.
So go check that out. We'll have a link in the show notes where you can apply. All right, what's next? Toby.
Oh, I was going to say Toby is up next.
All right, well, here's the Blueberry Pro Tip. And I didn't listen to this before, so listen.
Hi, it's Toby Goodman here. One of the beautiful things about podcasts is their versatility. If you're running any sort of business and using your podcast to promote what you're doing, you'll likely have a website. And if you have a website, you might have a frequently asked questions or FAQ page. If you don't, maybe you should. Now, while there's no doubt FAQs can really help you to serve your prospects and clients and move them towards making the decision to investing in your products or services, they can be pretty boring to read. By using podcasts to answer FAQs, you can add that human element and even expand on an answer. For example, one of the most frequently asked questions from prospective podcasters who my production team work with is, will you help me with my gear and equipment setup? The short answer is yes. An expanded answer, perfect for a podcast called How Will You Help Me Sound Like a Pro, might be, when you decide to invest in pro production with us, the first thing that will happen is we'll schedule your technical setup. One of the team members will jump on a call with you to assess the room you plan to record in and give you tips on how you can improve your environment to capture your podcast. From there, they will check your computer has the processing power you need and then recommend the microphone and associated pieces of equipment from headphones to acoustic tiles to ensure you've got the best gear for your situation. An FAQ-style podcast like this adds a human tone and in this case demonstrates a result, a professional-sounding podcast, the service we provide. So consider using your podcast to give expanded answers on the questions you're frequently asked. These can serve both your existing and future clients, and you can send links to these podcasts to answer questions via email. If you have a team looking after your inbox, they can also use them to reply to questions with confidence. For example, Hi, Joan. Thanks for your question. Click this link to check out a short podcast that answers that exact question. So if connecting with the people you create your podcast for is important to you, then maybe we should chat. You can find us over at blueberrypro.com.
Yeah, that's good. It's kind of ironic because of our question of the week. We do that here. We answer the frequently asked questions or sometimes a question that just gets under our saddle. Mm-hmm. But this one actually coincides perfectly with Toby's pro tip there. It's a hardware question. And like I said, it's a little geeky. But somebody on Facebook asked me, he says, I'm trying to help a colleague connect a mixer. And really doesn't matter what kind of mixer. This one's a Mackie something or another, mm-hmm. Analog mixer. So it doesn't have a USB. It's it has analog outputs and everything. And he's trying to hook it to a new MacBook Pro. Of course, Apple removed a lot of the inputs on their more recent MacBooks, which ironically you and I were talking about earlier. So
15 minutes before we started recording.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? But anyway, he says, any ideas for a good solution that won't introduce noise into the sound chain? And I answered, yes, get yourself a USB sound card or interface. We talked about the Focusrite.
You got it.
That would be an option. Or, you can get much less expensive ones on Amazon. Maybe I'll throw a link in the show notes to that. It won't be an affiliate link, so don't worry. We're not trying to make money on you. But I'll throw one of the better ones that are cheap. It's probably $50, I think. But make sure that it has a line level input, because there's two different types of inputs on sound cards. And, one is what's called a mic level, which is a much lower, not as strong signal as line level. Line level is, you could plug that into a speaker and it would be enough for a speaker. You plug a mic right into a speaker, it's not enough power to power the speaker. But if you plug your line level output into a mic input, you're going to it ain't going to work. It's going to blast overdrive, sound crackly, it'll be crappy. So make sure you get a sound card that has that line level input, because that's what these mixers, the analog mixers, output. Of course, if you had a mixer that had USB, you just plug it in, it's like the Rodecaster or any of the other things like that. But that's the short answer. I had that exact setup prior to getting the Rodecaster. I still have that setup. It's collecting dust in my other office. But it's a Mackie mixer, and I've got a little hockey puck sound card thing that plugs into the computer, and it works like a champ. So I think that covers it.
Okay.
So you have anything else before we wrap it up?
No, just personally, I understand trying to use the analog Mackie mixer, but...
Well, that's what you're doing there.
Yeah.
In the studio. That's plugged into a USB sound card. In the line input, and you've got this gigundous mixer there.
It's a bit obnoxious. That's more or less what I'm like leading up to, though, is you have this fancy new MacBook Pro. Why stick with something old for the other part?
Right. Hey, we didn't cover it, but Rode came out with a new version of their Rodecaster, which is about half the size of the old one.
One is huge, but it's not small.
No, but it's got all the same features. Well, most of the same features. They took out the TRRS plug, which is for plugging in an analog phone or plugging in a phone using analog. Mm-hmm. But they still have the Bluetooth, and I believe one of the inputs you could put a USB mic on. I don't know. There was a whole bunch of things I read about it. They're not in the wild yet. BSW had one that wasn't a Rodecaster. It was made by another company that looked very much like the Rodecaster. So there's more options out there. But they're going to continue to make the older Rodecaster, the Rodecaster 1, I guess. And now they've got the Roadcaster 2. So that'll be interesting to see one of those when, you know, probably by Podcast Movement, somebody will have one.
Yeah, you know, there. I can try and find a link for the show notes, too.
Yeah, and they're a bit more expensive than the old ones. And I think they're reducing the price on the older one, so that'll be good. I love this thing. If this died tomorrow, I would have FedEx sending me one the next day. I promise. Well, it's the most useful tool I've ever had for podcasting. But anyway, I'm not being paid by them. Anyway, all
but
right.
You could be.
Yeah. So if you got a question you'd like us to answer on the show, drop an email to me, mike@blueberry.com. You can send audio, text, or video, or whatever. We might use it on the show. The best place for support with any Blueberry products or services is our ticket system or our phone line. But ticket system is probably best because that gives the whole team access rather than, you know, just a direct email or a direct call or whatever. But, of course, you have those options, too. Just know that it'll take longer.
Yeah, always will.
Yeah, so anyway, we're coming to you this week from the Blueberry Studio in Columbus, Ohio, where Mackenzie's at, and of course my studio here in northern Michigan. And we're produced by the Blueberry Pro Production team, who has their work cut out for them today.
Yes, they do.
All right. And of course, fill out our listener survey over at surveys.blueberry.com/podcastinsider. And you can schedule a one-on-one with Todd, hosting customers only. You can email todd@blueberry.com, schedule a tech checkup with me, also hosting customers only. I'll be happy to go through your setup with you, mike@blueberry.com.
And if you would like to send us a sticker, we'll send you some stuff back. But also, I put a call out on Instagram yesterday. But we are looking for the June Podcaster of the Month. And specifically, we're looking for something LGBTQ+, Pride-related. So please send in your show if you're a Blueberry customer and have a show Pride-related. And tell me why you think you should be Podcaster of the Month. And we just might choose you.
And I see a new line here. Use the survey and let us know what else you want to see as we gear up for version 2 of the survey.
Yeah, that was something that Dave and I were talking about last week, that someone had mentioned they wanted to change the questions a little bit, which we might be able to introduce, but you just got to tell us what you want.
It might be hard to have customizable questions in there only because of the way we report it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we could maybe have some ad hoc question that's just a text input or something. But anyway, I'm being geeky. I got to stop that. All right. Well, I guess that's it. So everybody have a good week. In theory, Todd should be back next Thursday.
We will see.
Yeah, I think he's going to Jersey.
He is.
That Friday.
He is going to New Jersey sometime for next weekend, yeah. For another podcast conference. Yeah, so he will be on the move again.
Yeah, so I think he's done after that until Movement.
I have already started planning for Movement, so.
Yeah, we already started, got our hotel rooms, so we're getting a start.
Yeah.
So everybody have a good week.
Thank you.